Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and whether you are listening to us online or on the radio, we are so glad that you've tuned in today. On this special broadcast, you're going to hear the second part of a conversation Dr. Dobson had with Morton Blackwell, the founder and president of the Leadership Institute. On yesterday's program, the two discussed how this organization has battled against the recurring assaults on Christian beliefs on college campuses and the various conservative groups Leadership Institute has started. Today, Morton Blackwell will explain the phrase, "You owe it to your philosophy to learn how to win," which has become the Institute's motto. He'll also address whether there is any hope for the future of colleges in America. Dr. Dobson begins this second day by asking Morton Blackwell whether he would advise parents to send their children to public colleges and universities. As was the case yesterday, there is a lot of content to get through, so let's get started on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Suppose you had a son or daughter who was 20 years of age and ready to go to college, or maybe they're 18 or 19, ready to go to college. Would you feel comfortable with them attending a liberal state university?
I wouldn't want to take the risk. I mean, there are prestigious schools where if you go to the school and you get a degree, your economic circumstances may be bettered by that. But I know too many parents and too many grandparents who will say, I sent my son off to Ohio State and he came back unrecognizable. Everything that the family had taught him, he was a different person and he didn't believe our principles anymore. I have grandkids who are now, two of them, they're one of them 10 and one of them 12, and we're thinking about colleges. And the number of colleges that I would feel comfortable about my grandkids going to, maybe 10.
See, I feel exactly the same way. If you care about the moral values, and from my point of view, the Christian understanding, scriptural understanding, if you care about that, you're going to put it totally at risk in a youngster who is too immature to recognize he or she is being manipulated.
Right.
I would not run that risk. That's the way you put it. That's the way I feel about it.
Well, however, you know and I know that most parents who share our views are not going to feel that strongly about it, and they're going to say, we'll send our kids to a more typical college. And what that means is on these campuses, the vast majority of the campuses that are dominated, and they are dominated by the left, there are nonetheless a lot of people who have reached young adulthood with their heads still screwed on right. And those people are the targets of the administration and the faculty and the other leftist student groups. And that's why I spend so much time and effort sending bright people who are conservative out to campus to find conservative students and help them form conservative student groups. Because if they think they're the only conservative on campus, then they are going to be tempted to no longer show any conservative characteristics. But if they are reinforced with a group of like-minded people and they bring in good speakers and they read the right books.
And get involved with your organization? Do you take a young person like that and begin to train them and give them?
We offer our youth leadership school which was the first of the schools that the Leadership Institute ran. It's to train people who are interested in becoming organizers of students for some cause or candidate. That's our youth leadership school. And so we offer that. But we cooperate with all of these other groups, and some of them are pro-life groups, and some of them are Second Amendment groups, and some of them are free market oriented groups. My role in life, I believe, is to find people who are already reasonably conservative, and they have been made conservative by their parents bringing up, by their upbringing from the church, maybe a good uncle, maybe some kindly next-door neighbor has given them a reasonable philosophical background. Find those people and teach them how to be effective in politics so that they will not be captured by the left and so that they can organize in behalf of limited government and free enterprise.
So for those that feel completely outnumbered and overwhelmed, and what's happening in the classroom is contrary to everything that they believe, but they haven't got the courage of their convictions, can go and find people of like mind within your organization.
Exactly. And it depends on what the students' interests are. But there are cores of conservative students at almost every college. I mean, the Ivy League is just terribly dominated by leftists, but there have always been a cadre of conservatives at Harvard and at Yale and at Princeton. A famous group at Dartmouth created the Dartmouth Review. I think it's important that we not just abandon the colleges because they're dominated by the left. We're going to realize that most students are going to go to a leftist-dominated college, so let's have a rescue mission, find those people, let them get to know each other, let them get trained properly in how to defend their principles of limited government and free enterprise.
Is there any hope of taking back the university system? Your size says no.
It is a long-term process. There are exceptions. I mean, I live in Northern Virginia, and we have there a big state university called George Mason University. Now, my son got a degree in English from George Mason University, and he told me that in all of the English classes he took, he said every one of his professors, as he put it, was at least a socialist, meaning that they would be further left to communists. However, at George Mason University, they have a wonderful free market economics department, and they have, on precedent for a state university, a large and effective law school, which they just changed the name, and it's now the Antonin Scalia School of Law.
Oh,
and so there are oases for right-thinking people on these campuses.
So at the very least, parents who are helping their sons and daughters select the college experience, the school that they're going to go to, really need to invest themselves in that issue.
Exactly.
and learn something about the school and what its philosophy is.
Right.
Some of them won't even let conservative, conservative Christian students in. To those highly competitive programs.
20 years ago in Virginia, it became known among conservatives that if you wanted your child to be accepted at the University of Virginia, very prestigious school, you had to be sure that on the materials that you presented, there were no indications that your son or daughter was a conservative.
And when you consider where that money comes from for that university,
yes,
that ought to be illegal if it's not.
Well, it is awful, and things have to be done, in some cases, by the state government. The case in Tennessee a few years ago that you started the program talking about, it was state legislators who got this information, got pressure, and almost immediately they proceeded to defund this rotten leftist program and spent some of the money on bumper stickers reading In God We Trust.
You have a program that's had a major impact. It's called Campus Reform. but I haven't seen a description of exactly how that works. What is campus reform?
Campus Reform is a campus news website which is sourced by conservative students on college campus who see abuses and bias going on around them, and they report it to us, and we put it on the website. Five stories or so every day go on our website, and anybody can do it. You just go to the website, campusreform.org. There is a place on the landing page of that website where if you wish to be alerted to one story every day of the horrible things that are going on campus, just give us the email there, and we'll give you that feed as long as you want that feed.
Can you make it specific to a particular university or campus or state?
Well, there are like 2,700 four-year colleges in America, and there's no way to cover all of that on a single website. We do have available on the website, you can go back and look at stories, hundreds of them that have come in over the years, and I think you can search that for a particular college.
So you have some archives that...
The archives are opened.
Do you list the universities that you approve of, that you feel are doing the best job?
Well, we don't have such a list. I mean, you could sit down and come up with a list pretty quickly. You know, Hillsdale, Grove City, Liberty. They're not really that many of them. The Catholics have a little Christendom College in Virginia, and for many schools, if you have a particular course of study, if you can identify departments where there are good conservative faculty, then you can go to that school.
Hmm. Morton, tell me if you're hopeful about the future. I mean, there's a whole generation. How do you feel about millennials and what's taking place there? And what does that portend for the future of the country?
Well, those of us who favor traditional values and strong defense and the free market system are in many ways today more embattled than ever. But on the other hand, we have more resources and leadership than we ever had before. It is not a steady downward trend with things always getting worse. I got active in the Goldwater campaign long ago, and at that time, conservatives could communicate with each other through the filter of a left-wing media, where the newspapers and the networks and the news magazines would give everybody their news about the public policy process. And think of what we have today. We have the internet that we can talk to each other on without any filter. We have talk radio. We have programs like you. And I mean, imagine, was there anybody back in the 1960s with the outreach that you today have, Dr. Dobson? I don't remember anybody.
It really rankled me. When I was riding back and forth to the university in the car in the morning and at night, and I would listen to what kind of passed for talk radio then, I wanted to bite the steering wheel. I mean, there was nothing that represented my point of view. Well, and nothing. There was nobody. There was no Rush Limbaugh. There was no Hannity. There was none of those programs existed.
Exactly. So we have the means of communication now that we didn't have before. And so that is something we should think about and not get upset or despondent. Who would have thought that in the 1960s or 1970s that it would be possible to elect Ronald Reagan president of the United States? A lot of people thought that the Soviet Empire was going to absorb the whole world. And then suddenly conservatives got active at the grassroots and elected Ronald Reagan. The economy turned around, and it was communism that was thrown into the dustbin of history.
I read something that you wrote. I can't quote it, but let me express the idea of it. that when you supported Barry Goldwater for president and he got crushed by Lyndon Johnson,
yes,
you realized it's not enough to be right.
Exactly.
You got to know something about the process and
That's
how
correct.
To get there.
I think if you are committed to your principles, then you owe it to your philosophy to study how to win. Don't expect to win just because you think you can prove that you're right. You have to learn how to organize and communicate and raise funds and recruit candidates and manage campaigns and be good candidates, learn how to communicate online, et cetera. And all of that is what I have been focusing on, teaching people the skills and techniques to win. And I am so fortunate that I've been able to find literally tens of thousands of conservatives who are willing to financially support what I'm doing. And the end result now is 197,000 people that we trained and almost 2,000 conservative clubs that we work with. I have 33 members of the Congress who are graduates of my training, 400 plus state legislators serving now. So are we going to win or not? I don't know. But the Lord did not demand that we win. He demanded that we try.
Hmm. Tell me why you put such emphasis on winning politically. There's a reason behind that. Explain it.
The winner in a political contest, I believe, is determined not by whether or not you can prove yourself correct, but the winner is determined by the number and the effectiveness of the activists on the respective sides. If one side has a greater number of effective activists over a long period of time, that side is going to win. I think that's one reason why the communists had success for a long time, because conservatives were satisfied that we were right and could prove that we were right. The communists were studying how to win, how to organize, how to communicate, how to raise funds, how to get people of your viewpoint in jobs in the public policy process.
And those are things you teach
absolutely,
through the
absolutely.
Leadership
It's hard
Institute.
Because a lot of people who are deeply committed, philosophically conservative, think it's beneath their dignity to study mere technique, because the same techniques that you would use to design a piece of literature for a conservative group could be used by a left-wing group. And so that doesn't excite conservatives. But if you teach people what the real nature of politics is, that the winner is determined by the number and the effectiveness of the activists on each side. The number of activists on a given side is determined by the organizational technology that that side uses. And that if you organize and train people and you have more activists on your side, eventually you're going to win. Teaching philosophically committed people that they have a moral obligation to study how to win is less difficult than you might expect. But you have to do it. You have to persuade them and show them that being right in the sense of being correct doesn't mean you're going to win. You're going to have to work, because if the opposition works harder than you, then they will win and you will lose no matter how right you are.
Let me tell you what concerns me probably more than anything else, and that's that the people who are most committed to values, to rightness and wrongness, are conservative Christians.
Yes.
And often those people feel that somehow it's immoral or not right or anti-biblical or scriptural or what have you to be involved in politics. And they brag about it. They love to say, well, as you know, we're not political.
Right.
We're really talking about right and wrong. We're really talking about the future of this country. I mean, what if the founding fathers took that approach? Abraham Lincoln says the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. He didn't say of, by, and for everybody except conservative Christians. He said we all have a right to address the government and certainly to vote, Well, half the Christians don't even bother to register vote.
I don't think that the Lord wants us to be so concerned with heavenly things that we're no earthly good.
Well, as you can see, that's a hot button for me there, because I've been trying to make that case for 40 years. And I don't know if I'm getting anywhere or not. Well, but
I shudder to think what the country would be like were it not for the work you have done, Dr. Townsend.
Thank you, sir. Well, I appreciate so much what you stand for and the influence you've had on my life, beginning with that first conversation we had at the White House. And you're not ready to give up, are you? You're not ready to retire.
Retirement is not in my vocabulary. As long as I am in good physical and mental health, I plan to do it. And I have to tell you, it is immensely exciting when you find young people who are reasonably conservative and you bring them in and you teach them how to win. And then they say, I learned more at your seminar than I did at 4 years of college about how to affect government. And you realize that you've launched them perhaps on a lifetime of fighting for conservative principles. And when you train as many people as I have, I can't keep track of those people any more than you can keep track of the millions of people whose lives you have influenced. But you get plenty of comment back. People will tell you, as I told you before we went on, something that you did helped my family greatly. And you would never have known it if I hadn't told you about that this morning. So you know that not only is there enough evidence to show that what you're doing is worthwhile, you know that there's a whole lot out there, a whole lot more that you'll never, ever really be able to fully measure, but it's there.
Well, I find out about it when I go out in public and
exactly.
People stop me to tell me you helped raise my children.
Yes.
And that's my legacy if I've got one.
Yes. It's a great one.
And you have a great legacy too, sir, and keep up the good work. Now, how can people find your organization and how can they support you and help you?
Well, they can go to the website, leadershipinstitute.org, where we describe our programs. If people are interested in contributing, they can contribute on that website. I would encourage everybody, if you're not familiar with the Leadership Institute's campus news website, Campus Reform, go online and call up Campus Reform. We run about 5 stories of leftist outrages on campus every day. And there's a place on the page for Campus Reform for people to sign in, and we'll send you every day a new story about leftist abuses and bias on campus.
It's that prevalent.
We have an abundance of these.
You don't have trouble finding those stories, right?
For some long time, we were sending out to friendly news media one story a day about leftist outrages on campus. There were so many of them that we began now in our feed, we send 4 or 5 different stories out to the media so they can use one that maybe other news media aren't using. It's just awful. Shining sunlight on what they're doing is not only exciting, but it's rewarding. And very often they are forced to go into retreat when what they do is exposed.
I appreciate you being here. I love talking to you. And starting in 1983, we began a conversation that we carried on today. Thanks for coming.
And thank you so much for having me.
And let's do it again.
All right.
Well, we hope that you have learned a great deal about the state of our colleges over the past 2 days here at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Go to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn how to get plugged into the Leadership Institute or to listen to part one of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Morton Blackwell. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto our broadcast page. If you enjoyed today's broadcasts or any of our past programs, we encourage you to email us your thoughts. You can email feedback@myfamilytalk.com. That's simply the word feedback@myfamilytalk.com. You can also reach out to our constituent response team for help finding a particular resource or to submit your prayer request. Email us at contact@myfamilytalk.com. That's the word contact@myfamilytalk.com. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast, and I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Tim Clinton here. When you think about your family and where they'll be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? You hopeful? What kind of a legacy are you leaving for your children and their children right now? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org. You're going to find helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.